It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions, got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey everybody, this is Kyle Ayers, and this is Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they have never seen, and then we read them for you here in studio. Our guest today is Martha Kelly. Martha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, and we are also joined by Meggie Leeper and Marina Schifrin. Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hello, hello. So normally we end the show with a game called Describe what movie Kyle's dad is... Guess what movie Kyle's dad is describing based on having only seen the trailer and never having heard of the movie.
Good title.
And we have gotten feedback about the title. Shorten it, stop saying it, you know, stuff like that. And unfortunately, my dad couldn't... It's tough because he doesn't have a cell phone, and so it's hard to... A lot of moving parts are involved with getting him. We couldn't do it. So I have a brother who is 19 years old and probably the opposite end of the spectrum of my dad as far as what he's into, pop culture, things like that. So I sent my brother, and my brother is now going to describe. We're going to play with him. So my brother's going to describe a movie trailer for a movie he's never heard of, and we're going to guess what it is. We're just going to tease it real quick right now, though, just a few seconds of it.
All right, so he's telling everyone what time it is?
Okay, that's enough of a tease, I suppose. I think what it is, it's like there's notes on the trailer, and then they just reread those back instead of riffing it. But we'll get back to that later. Today's movie is The Big Lebowski. Never seen The Big Lebowski.
Have never seen it.
Any desire to have ever seen it?
I do love John Goodman a lot, so yes, but I just have never... I'm afraid I'll be disappointed because it's so beloved that have high expectations.
So people talk about it so much, and you have such an idea of what it is already, or at least like how it's perceived.
The things I know about it are that there's bowling involved, and John Goodman and Jeff Bridges, and the character named the Dude is philosophical. that's all I know.
Yeah. I think a lot of what I knew about it before I saw it was just based on various dorm posters. Seemed to be the idea. And so you'll be doing the... Oh, I got to get an instrument. You'll be reading our stage directions here for The Big Lebowski. And then we have Marina. Who are you going to be playing?
Can I actually, Mickey, I lied. Can I be Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, sure. And I'll be the character opposite Jeff Bridges, the Dude.
And then we'll have our instruments here if we want to do anything along with it. And so this is The Big Lebowski.
And apologies up front, there's a long description before we even get to the dialogue. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. So this is interior bowling alley day. A guy who looks like John Goodman is walking around a bowling alley picking up misplaced bowling shoes and wiping tables. He stops to pick up a bowling ball and starts performing for an audience of friends that are not there. As he laughs and trades jibes with his imaginary friends, he goes through the motions of throwing the ball and celebrating his imaginary strikes. On the third attempt at miming throwing the ball, he accidentally lets it go and gets a strike for real. When the ball flies from his hands, he yells shit in surprise, but then when he gets a strike, he jumps up and down with glee. I didn't know what it was called. When the apparatus resets pins, one pin is missing. He walks down to where the pins are. I also don't know what that area is called. Lies on his stomach and reaches for the missing pin.
Goddamn piece of shit. Where is that fucking pin?
As he's feeling around,
we made some decisions there.
As he's feeling around for the pin, we hear loud panting behind him, startling the audience as well as the dude.
What the fuck?
That's a scary sound effect. Oh, sorry, guys. Help. He jumps a little and hits his head. He backs out onto the bowling lane, and a giant dog begins licking his face and trying to sit in his lap.
What the? Hey, stop! Hold on! Wait a minute.
He pushes the dog back and stands up. The dude's point of view reveals a giant border collie-looking dog.
Oh my god. Lebowski? Is that you?
The dude rubs his eyes and appears dumbstruck. Just then, a very small border collie-looking dog comes running out from behind the shoe rental counter. The giant dog and little dog look identical except for their size.
Lebowski? Wait, what? What's going on? I thought somebody had reverse Honey, I Shrunk the Kids to you.
This is so dumb. Sorry. Lebowski, the small dog, runs up and jumps into the dude's arms. He then begins to growl at the giant dog. The giant dog responds by lying down and rolling onto his back.
Easy, Lebowski. I think he's friendly.
Lebowski jumps down and stands next to the giant dog's face, growling and asserting his alpha-ness. Then the giant dog licks his face and Lebowski stops growling and starts happily wrestling with the giant dog. The actor Jeff Bridges walks into the bowling alley, clearly looking for something.
Hey, buddy. You in here, buddy?
He spots the dude and the two dogs playing.
There you are. Hi. Hey, man.
Hi. Can I help you?
Yeah, man. Hi. That's my dog.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where he came from. Thought maybe he came from another dimension where everybody has a giant twin.
Yeah, okay, man. That sounds cool. Listen, we've got to get going.
Two dog?
Come on, buddy. Let's go.
The giant dog stands up and takes a step towards Jeff Bridges, then hesitates when Lebowski barks in protest.
Come on, man. We got to go.
The giant dog starts towards Jeff Bridges again, but then Lebowski starts to whine. The giant dog stops and turns back to Lebowski. Lebowski runs up to him and they start licking each other's faces.
Oh man, look at that. They really like each other.
Cool, yeah, sorry, but we've got to get going.
Where are you headed?
To giant dog.
Come on, buddy.
To the dude.
Nowhere, I mean, just the shelter. Found this guy on the side of the road and didn't want him to get hit by a car, so...
Oh, the shelter, huh?
Both men look at the two dogs, who are now lazily rolling around together and licking each other's faces.
Yeah, and we really gotta get going.
Two giant dog.
Come on, man. Let's go, buddy.
The giant dog is now completely ignoring Jeff Bridges.
Okay, Lebowski, let your friend go now. He's gotta get going. Come on, big fella.
The dude reaches down to pick up Lebowski, but as he does so, the giant dog swings a paw and knocks his feet out from under him. The dude crashes to the floor.
Shit! What the fuck, man?
The giant dog and Lebowski start licking the dude's face and climbing all over him. His anger at being knocked down dissipates.
Okay, then. All right, guys.
For a moment, the dude appears to have forgotten that Jeff Bridges is even there.
Hey, listen, man. I'm sorry to break this up, but we've really got to get going.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man.
He scrambles to stand up and regain some dignity.
Okay, guys, that's enough. Lebowski, your friend's got to go now.
Come on, buddy. Come on, let's go.
Both dogs turn to face Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges taking a few steps towards the dogs.
Come on, let's go, man.
As he approaches, Lebowski starts to growl and the giant dog moves to stand behind him.
Whoa. Hey, Lebowski, that's not nice. The man's just trying to help keep your buddy off the street.
Lebowski stops growling and turns to look at the dude, at which time Jeff Bridges makes a bit of a lunge towards the giant dog. The giant dog recoils, and Lebowski snaps at Jeff Bridges.
Hey, man, fuck you. Give me my fucking dog.
Jeff Bridges stomps a foot at Lebowski and lunges towards the giant dog again. Lebowski lets out a frightened yelp.
Hey, now, wait a minute. No need to get rough.
Look, man. I just want to get out of here with my dog, okay?
Your dog? I thought you said you found him by the side of the road.
Yeah, I did. I just meant, like, my dog as opposed to your dog. Like, the dog I came in looking for. Just, you know what? Forget it.
to the giant dog.
God damn it, let's go, now!
The giant dog lies down behind Lebowski, who has taken up his protective stance again and is growling at Jeff Bridges.
Hey man, looks like your dog doesn't want to go with you.
What the? Okay, you know what? Fuck it. You keep him. I don't need this shit.
Jeff Bridges walks out and both dogs give a triumphant bark at him as he goes.
Good. Get on out of here then.
Both dogs turn to the dude and shower him with affection. Robin's Show Me Love starts playing as we fade out. Is this a dog love story? The end.
I like it.
Thanks for reading it, guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty spot on. The movie is.
I just like picturing border collies having fun. And when they're little, they're hilarious.
They're super cute.
Yeah. So I think the main thing and what Mackie was hinting is that the dude is Jeff Bridges.
Right.
But other than that, I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That's pretty spot on.
I think this movie had such a weird... There was a guy on my dorm floor who made everyone call him the dude, and he wore a robe around everywhere.
Yikes.
Oh, I forgot about the robe.
And that's...
Wait, what were the two details you knew about the movie?
I knew it involved bowling. I knew Jeff Bridges and John Goodman were in it, and that the dude was like a philosophical character.
And the robe was another tiny detail you had, right?
Oh, right, yeah, but I forgot about that.
It's implied. Like, this is a snapshot. You don't have to have it all in there. Sometimes actors make decisions. You don't know what the budget's going to be.
I was saying I've watched it twice, and that's the only thing I remember from it, that there is a robe, bowling, and Jeff Bridges.
He drinks White Russians. That's another one of
them. Oh, yes. Right. Super yeah. White Russians.
I mean, I couldn't even remember what Jeff Bridges' voice really sounds like.
No, I think, yeah. That actually came off. You're going to be surprised. But that I got that vibe from you when you started doing it.
I was like, is he Canadian?
He's sort of like always, yeah, man, that's really...
Right.
You know, he took one philosophy class and now he's home for Thanksgiving to let everyone know what they don't quite understand.
Yeah, I kind of was like, I think it's more Fargo-y than that. And I really leaned in.
No, I think you're thinking of a different... The Coen brothers did a different movie...
Called Fargo?
Yeah, I think that might be the one that you're thinking of. I just remember the dude living on our dorm floor, the floor that I lived in college, and his dad owned a grocery store, and so he would get a lot more groceries than everyone else, and he'd be like, I gotta share these groceries, man. And he was also the only person with an air conditioner on our floor, and so he would leave his door open like he was giving us all cold air on the rest of the floor.
What
so,
dorm were you in?
Schur's.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Marina and I went to college together. It wasn't just like a...
Yeah, I know
dorms around the U.S. I'm sure as they do not have air conditioning. Woo.
And I was in room 420, and he was super jealous of that.
Sick.
But it's like, he can still smoke.
Fun, though. What college did you go to?
University of Missouri.
That sounds really fun.
It was kind of a picturesque college thing. Having this cool sort of hippie-ish guy, and he's who introduced me to this movie, if you believe it or not, the guy who went by the name of the character.
What kind of groceries did he share?
A lot of the, like, fruit snacks, those...
The shitty ones.
Right, yeah. What are those bars that fall apart immediately when you open them? They're crunchy, and
they're Nature Valley. Yeah.
And then you open them, and they're just a million pieces. Mm-hmm. A lot of those.
So no junk food? That's what I would get excited about.
I mean, it was... Fruit snacks were about as intense as it got for junk food. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like he wasn't as cool as I thought.
He was more of a dude, and not the dude. This is one of those... We have... people write all sorts of movies and stuff for this, and sometimes they're really famous, like, Oscar-winning movies. But this is, like, one of those movies that comes up as a lot of people's favorite movie.
So do you think if I watch it, I'll be disappointed, or does it deliver up to your expectations?
I think if you really like John Goodman, I love John Goodman, then you will like it. Even if you don't like anything else about the movie, or if it's all disappointing except the scenes he's in, he's as good as you'd want. It's very funny to watch.
Are there any dogs in it?
I don't think so. Yeah. Mm. I didn't want to say that right after the script, but maybe you could send some notes. There'll surely be a sequel. Maybe they could
put that. Is it going to be called The Little Lebowski?
Yeah.
Sequel?
It's just about his kid, probably.
Are there not dogs in it?
I don't even
ever?
Remember what happens at the
end. He seems like a character that would have a dog.
Right, yeah. But can you really own anything?
Yeah, that's right.
That would come up.
Yeah, but...
Oh, right.
I don't know. I don't know if there are any dogs. Are there any dogs, guys out there? They're asleep. they know more about it. But this is like a... This is a very specific gripe I had with this movie, and it's not really a spoiler, but I like the band The Eagles a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they shit on the Eagles very famously in a scene in this movie. Is it John Goodman who says it?
I don't remember
who it was. Someone's like, the Eagles suck. They just make a giant point of saying that the Eagles suck. And so I held that against this movie for a really long time. I still do. I still probably hold it against it.
Yeah, that's. I don't agree that the Eagles suck. I don't know why people would say that other than just to be cruel.
I know. I think they say it. I think people say it now just to align with this movie.
That's terrible.
And so I hold that against them. I think that sometimes people mold their personalities a little bit around the movies that they like. And this is a particular trait that people have. The big guy. Anytime you're like, if I get into defending the Eagles, the thing that will come up is people be like, yeah, but the Eagles fucking suck, man. I'm like, no, you're just saying the thing someone else wrote.
Yeah. That's what I kind of feel that about this movie is, you know, when people say that things like the Eagles suck, but then if I like them, I'm like, what's, I don't understand. I want to like catch up to everyone. And with the movie the same way, I've seen it a few times and it never resonated the way it has with culturally with so many people. Yeah. So I feel so stressed out that I feel like I'm not understanding what there is to understand. But if it's a very philosophical movie, I never did the work to be like, oh, this is the famous philosophical theory. You know, I can't even name any of them. So.
I haven't seen the movie recently enough to know if it's philosophical or if the joke is that this man thinks he's philosophical. Because he's like wearing a robe around. So he either knows the most or the least.
Yeah.
I watched this movie for the first time when I was like 11. And I just didn't understand that it was a comedy. I didn't understand what the plot was. This is one of the first movies I was like deeply confused by, especially because my dad was like, "Oh, this movie's great. You know, this is a really great." And everybody loved the Coen. I like knew who the Coen brothers were, but I didn't. I was just baffled by what this movie was.
I think I still might be.
Yeah,
maybe
I guess,
I'll rewatch it. Right. I hold that Eagles thing against it in such a strong manner. It is my fault. I'm projecting this onto it right now, but I just from particular conversations still don't. But it's and Philip Seymour Hoffman is in it, right? Isn't that him? He's like an assistant. And John Turturro is in it as like a funny bowling guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. This has all the parts of a movie I should really like.
Yeah, great actors.
I like they were like, you know, maybe we'll check out this indie flick. That there's a whole store in New York called the Lebowski Store that's somehow still open in Greenwich Village.
I think there's a festival, too, or something like that, where a bunch of people dress up like the dude.
Hmm.
So this is like a cultural thing.
Oh, big time.
I didn't watch it until college. I always thought it was a Polish movie. Like, I thought that was the plot.
Oh, like it's like a Polish historical documentary?
Yeah, well, I like grew up with a lot of my friends were Polish, and Lebowski is like a very Polish name. Yeah, but not the case. That's why I was mainly disappointed. I thought...
Like, when do they reference all the stuff everyone references around the holidays? There's holidays. There's people dress up as this guy every year. What are more movies like this? But it also like isn't Titanic. Like it didn't make a billion dollars or anything like that. Just sort of a movie that kind of everyone knows a little bit about.
Yeah, what are other like cult? I mean, I feel like Napoleon Dynamite's kind of like this.
People dress like that.
Like
I worked
Pedro.
At, it was called the Jones Store, but it's Macy's. I worked at a department store and they sold Vote for Pedro ripoff shirts and then they got in trouble and we couldn't sell them anymore. So
bold move.
Did not even pay for the licensing.
Yeah.
But just sell some font t-shirt like a mall kiosk would sell, but it's Macy's. Like we really need to bully the t-shirt industry a little bit. So we talk a little bit about like what it, you were talking about this like movie, Mickey, that confused you or like something you saw really early on.
Mm-hmm.
What was everyone's like first movie going experience? Like, do you remember the first time you went to a movie and you're like, oh, this is kind of a thing. If you like going to the movies, do you even like going to the movies?
Yeah, I don't remember the first one I saw, but I remember I was really young when my parents took us to the drive-in to see Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Very scared.
That's one I haven't seen either.
Really?
Yeah. That was actually the movie that started this whole show.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think, in my opinion, I haven't seen Schindler's List because it would be very depressing. But so maybe I'm wrong, but I think Jaws is his Spielberg's best movie.
Yeah. That would definitely be a frustrating thing to compare and decide which is best. Like if you're like, I have to watch Schindler's List and then do a ranking sort of situation.
Yeah.
Because it'd feel weird to put it second on any.
Yeah.
I can't even say list, but you know, it'd feel weird to put it. I haven't seen. I realized I missed out on Spielberg almost entirely. Because people were like, oh, you haven't seen Jaws? I haven't seen E.T. Jurassic Park is like my favorite movie though.
Oh, Jurassic Park and Poltergeist 2 are great.
I haven't seen Poltergeist, but.
Ooh, that's a really good scary movie.
Yeah.
From before. Torture porn became what horror movies are.
Yeah.
But it's terrifying, Poltergeist.
We get into those sort of like hostile movie torture porn things. Almost every episode somehow it comes up where people talk about horror movies they like and then they delve, like somehow got funneled into this that they don't like as much.
Yeah, I hate it.
Did everyone like, you go to the drive-in to see Jaws. It was like a cult, like everyone is seeing Jaws.
Yeah, but this was in maybe 74.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was born in 68. So I know I was in first or second grade. So it must have been 74 or 75. And so there weren't things, movies weren't blockbusters yet like they are now, I guess. So I don't know. I know it became a hit because I remember it being, you know, it was definitely a cultural thing, but
it wasn't like The Avengers, which has hype built up for a year and a half, and then everyone talks about how much money it makes, and it was just sort of like
I think it did end up getting talked about for making a lot of money, but I think it was just, I don't know, the Tylenol sinus is really.
Do you think it was like nothing was expected to be a giant blockbuster, and then so when they were, people, it was on the merit of the movie and maybe not the hype of like.
Yeah, I think it this in the early mid 70s was like when Star Wars happened, and then that was right when blockbusting, I think, started.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember which one came out first, Star Wars or Jaws, but I do think it was the sequence was like, there wasn't a lot of hype. It came out, people really loved it, and then the media started making a big deal out of it after it had already been seen and caught on.
Okay.
I guess it's
like one of it, well, it's like a word of mouth thing blew this up, and almost like made blockbusters.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong because I was like 6 at the time, and I didn't have my finger on the pulse
of media
cinema.
Relations just yet.
Yeah.
Do you still go see movies a lot?
Not a lot, but I do. I do love going to movie theater. It's just when I was a kid, it was like I remember when movie tickets went up to $1. And all the kids in the neighborhood were outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really different back then because kids could go places like that in groups by themselves, just get dropped off by your parents, and then all of the trailers beforehand. And it seemed like a exciting experience with a lot of parts to it that don't seem to exist anymore, like the curtains would open in front of the screen and stuff. This was back in the 1800s.
I do know that some theaters, theaters seem to have either moved back to wanting to make it like a very, like a movie going experience like that. There's that theater, the Los Feliz 3,
mm-hmm.
that still has curtains and almost the screen is almost on a stage and it opens the curtains for the movies and it shows the concession stand video. Or they go completely in the other direction and you're like sitting almost in a bed. Like these crazy recliner chairs, and then it's...
You have to wear VR.
Yeah, it's almost a ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of... They seem to have just shot off in either of those directions. And I like going to the ones where you're kind of... The chair's a little rickety and uncomfortable, and you're close to people. And I think there's something more fun about watching... I think almost every movie is made better by watching it with strangers.
I've never thought about that.
Not at like my house, but you know, at something like a movie theater. That's not an invite.
It is definitely more exciting to watch movies in a theater than at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I just went and saw A Quiet Place, and I don't know if I would have liked it. I mean, I think it was great, but I think if I'd watched it at home, I would have never told anyone about it. Like if I waited and it's on whatever Netflix or whatever, I would be like, "That's a really good movie." But then it doesn't sit and resonate with me. But instead, I remember there's a couple moments in the movie where it isn't absolutely terrifying and thrilling. Like maybe a total of like a minute and a half. It's a really good movie. And during one of those parts, someone sneezed and 30 people said, "Bless you." Like everyone was very ready for anything to happen. And then everyone was like, "Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you." And then everyone sort of, you felt everyone like kind of laughing at this communal thing. And then the movie ended and we all walked out. Like it was the last day of school or something. Like we're just like, we did it. But if I watched it at home, it might not have been the same movie. There's just something so interesting about actually going and seeing it.
It sounds terrifying, so I don't think I'll see it.
Yeah. If it's if you don't like scary movies, I wouldn't go see it.
I watched it twice. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's fully nuts.
It's also like kind of a, this has nothing to do with the podcast, but it is, and a lot of people are saying, but it is, John Krasinski is going to be hard for him to not look like Jim from The Office. And it's
but he has a beard.
He has a beard, but it is just because how iconic the show is. And
people still watch it a lot.
Yeah.
We, like my girlfriend and I went home and just like started watching The Office because that's what we watch at night. And it was super jarring to like see him. And it's like, is everything okay, Jim? Are you fine?
It's such a bizarre, and him maybe more than anyone in that show. But it's just because my brother's 19, watched The Office all the way through like a couple years ago. And it's just such a weird thing.
This morning, my brother was just saying before he goes to bed, he watches The Office. And that was really interesting. Like I would say a month or so ago, I noticed that a lot of people were saying, "That's what she said" to me. You know, in the innuendos. And I was like, this is so strange.
What do you mean? What kind of joke is that?
I was like, this is so strange because, you know, we did this in college and then it kind of faded in the, you know, in 2011. And I was thinking, why is everyone saying this again? And sure enough, they had uploaded all the seasons onto Netflix. And I was like, that's crazy that Netflix is kind of shaping the relatable humor in everyday conversations. Like people at the grocery store were like,
I also feel like at the time when Michael Scott was saying that a bunch, the bit was sort of that like it was over. Yeah,
it was already hack. That was the joke of it.
So what about you guys? What's going to the movies for you guys? Is it seeing The Big Lebowski when you're 11 and remembering not getting a movie or something like that?
I think it's that. I think I like worked at movie theaters for like 6 years when I was, you know, like in early high school and then even into college. So I love it. I love movie theaters. That's really important to me. But I think the most important movie going experience from when I was young was I saw Twister at my babysitter's house when I was like 5 or something like that. And it ruined my life until I was like 11, probably.
This ruined actually said, it.
So
well,
scary.
That was his dad at the beginning in the cellar.
It was really. I mean, it was really like I was afraid, and I didn't grow up in Tornado Alley or anything like that. I wasn't really at risk for that. But in the 70s, a tornado destroyed the house across the street from my grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. And then there weren't really tornadoes after that where I lived, but I was like, it's...
Maybe you were due.
That's how it felt. Yeah. That's how it felt.
Where are you from?
I'm from central Pennsylvania.
Ah.
So, like, not really.
But it
risk.
Looks like a place tornadoes could be, like, if you saw a picture of it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twister is terrifying and not accurate. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's rarely a tornado the size of the one that they hype the entire time, the F5 or whatever.
Right.
But it is kind of how people behave around tornadoes.
Yeah.
There's people whose job it is to just drive them. At them and throw stuff into them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Is it realistic that tornadoes chase people around the state for a whole day?
Only if they have the right motivation. Tornadoes are vindictive.
It seems like that's the main characteristic is they seek revenge.
I always thought the part that I could never take seriously in that movie was whoever that was that just... was afraid of tornadoes but collected wind chimes.
Right.
And I was like, well, just take some of these down.
That was Aunt Meg.
And they would only get tangled. I've had wind chimes. They become a tangled mess if you move them.
That's what I was going to say about the movie is I watched it when I was young because my friend's aunt was in it. And I think that she's the, is she the bigger woman with the big curly hair?
Well, that, there's two.
Aunt Megs.
Aunt Meg, well, there's two Aunt Megs. No, there's only one.
They replaced her like Aunt Viv.
Yeah. There can only be
the second half of the movie.
Aunt Meg is present day, but Helen Hunt's mother from the beginning of the movie, the flashback, is also
Fuller set
lady with long kind of brown wavy hair, but then Aunt Meg is long wavy gray hair.
Oh yeah, no, I think she had the brown wavy hair, so it might have been earlier in the movie.
Like
it
was from the flashback.
Yeah, it was like a very small role, but I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and so no one knew anyone involved in the industry. And I remember that was my, I felt like we were kind of famous too, because our friend's aunt was this minor character in Twister, and Twister was such a big movie. So that's all I remember from it.
Well, see, that's unfair. So it like wasn't scary.
It wasn't scary at all.
I know her. Yeah. This isn't real.
Like, she's not going to die. She's right here.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But really? I was in my early 20s and high as a kite when we watched it. And grew up here where there's no exciting weather, so it seemed exciting. But I own it on DVD and Amazon streaming. And I used to watch it every night before I went to bed as a way to relax. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, very relaxing.
Well...
What?
But yeah, once it's familiar.
It's the the setting of it all being out in the country is very relaxing to me, growing up in a sprawling city.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's what it was, but...
I've never really thought about things like that, where it's like, yeah, the weather is almost always the same here, or at least very predictable. And so something like that is so, it's like foreign to just be like there, a tornado being a super exciting thing like that.
But that's just, that's funny to me to like watch, to want to like long for the country so much that you're like fine with tornadoes happening, that you're just like, this is relaxed. It feels like watching.
But they have wraparound porches so you can like get super excited. You know, tornadoes, whatever, but they have really nice front porches and stuff on all their houses.
That's what's fun. Yeah. I mean, it's like growing up in the country and then watching like, you know, just like a 9/11 movie to be like, someday I'll move to the city.
Also, Twister, young Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Another one with him.
Oh. He's really good
in it. He's really, really good in it. I remember before I ever made the connection that that was him, always just liking that one storm chaser guy from Twister.
Yeah.
And then rewatching him being like, oh.
He's great. Bill Paxton was great. Helen Hunt. We did. There's a show in Austin, a live show at a movie theater that serves food and alcohol called a Master Pancake Theater. And it's basically they are a derivative of Mystery Science Theater. Mm-hmm. So they just make fun of movies live. And we did Twist. I did it as a guest with them. And we did Twister. And it's my favorite.
The role you've been preparing for, too.
My whole life. Because it's not a well-written, brilliant movie. A lot of it's really ridiculous.
But the effects hold up.
Yeah, the effects are really good. But it is really funny and dumb that it's a movie where tornadoes chase this group around a whole day.
It is, yeah. Or people are projecting their importance upon weather. Like, no, this weather's after me.
Right.
And it's like, if you back out far enough, everyone else is like, we're just terrified. Can you find anything out about it? And like, no, I have to fight a tornado.
Yeah, she's fighting the tornado. And then Bill Paxton, one of his techniques, because he's a gifted storm chaser, is to smell the dirt.
Yeah.
I
remember Twister has such an incredible version of, like, for the longest time, westerns were like the quintessential good versus bad, good guy white hat, bad guy black hat. Right. Twister, good guy white truck, bad guys 50 white black SUVs driving around. And they had their Dorothy version, but it's like colder and not as friendly looking. It was still just a tool that you're going to throw in a tornado.
So funny. I thought you were just going to say good guys white truck, bad guys giant tornado.
How we've evolved. That's the id.
And they also, the black truck team, Their corporate sellouts.
Yes.
As if there was ever a time where corporations were giving people lots of money to chase storms. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's like the corporate sellout street artists in the 90s or something. Right. Like, this is a thing no one's ever made money doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though. The Twister is also, I remember seeing Twister at a drive-in with Babe.
Mm.
And those were there too. And Babe was first.
I just thought you were like calling your girlfriend Babe.
A lot of bad jokes to avoid, but yeah, and that was sort of a. They're different movies, but it was a fun movie to see in a drive-in. See, we would have like a van because it was by car to get in the drive-in, and we had a big van, like a conversion van, a huge wood paneling sided, and my dad would be like all the kids. No seatbelt, you know, I mean, you can hold, there's like 9 seatbelts and then 4 more kids, and then you go in and just sit and watch whatever 2 movies that they had there. We didn't do it too often.
That's cool.
I think we did it maybe 2 times. The other one was we saw something in Space Jam, and that's all I really remembered. But it was, you know, pile a bunch of kids and go do that.
Those are great movies.
Yeah. It's a good driving movie. What's your, Marina, what's your going to movie time?
Well, I have trouble remembering way back then, but I do distinctly remember my parents' first movie that they went to because my parents are immigrants from Russia, and so I think that's partially why we never really went to the movies because it would have been kind of, I mean, their English is fine, but wasn't so fine at the time of my childhood. But the first movie that they saw was The Birdcage in theaters, and they were really excited. My mom was 8 months pregnant with my brother, and she said she thought she was laughing so hard she thought she was going to give birth in the theater. And so they always talked about that, how it's like the funniest movie they've ever seen, and they loved it so much, and they wouldn't let me watch it because they thought it was adult humor because I was very young. And so I just waited. I remember asking every year if I could watch it, and then I think when I was like 14, they let me watch it. And it's my favorite movie today. I know all the words. I watch it every year.
Aww.
That's really nice.
I know.
I also could see everyone in that cast being funny, even if you don't speak the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are a bunch of funny people. That's great.
They're great.
That's so nice.
I think the first movie I saw was X-Men.
That's like tonight. The first movie you ever saw was X-Men?
I think so, in the theaters. Like the first one with... like
1999 or 2000 or sometime around
there? I think it was earlier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved it. But it's interesting now. I really liked those action hero movies, but I didn't read the comics. But now I feel like... you have to know so much, and people who go to all these Marvel movies. Is X-Men even Marvel?
We don't need to get into studio or copyright situations.
Okay, great. But I just like, I liked Spider-Man as well.
Something tells me someone who listens to this show might know the answer to that.
So somebody's screaming. It's a 20th century Fox property.
Now I want to make the rest of the podcast as long as possible so they can't finish listening, see if they can make it through the episode without emailing why X-Men aren't in Marvel movies.
But isn't Infinity War, X-Men, and Avengers combined or no?
It is Avengers and no Guardians of the Galaxy. Martha, you're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You need to know these things.
I'm in a tiny part of one movie.
Which one?
I don't know.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Tiny.
The
like,
best Spider-Man. Good job.
Well, I did direct it. but yeah, I didn't realize. Guardians of the Galaxy, I get confused with X-Men.
Yeah. They are kind of like a... not any of the mainstream ones, or at least not. They're not Spider-Man. I don't even think Iron Man. The ones that Captain America, those sort of those ones.
Well, isn't that a completely new story?
There's too many. Yeah. I don't know. And I asked someone. I was like, who is in these and why? And they sent me the most upsetting image of like a plan of the 50 like Marvel movies and how they enter, and I'm like, how does this make anyone want to see any of them?
It's so stressful.
Yeah. I like the ones where it's just you can watch the movie and they seem nice.
Is
Chris Evans is Captain America, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He posted a thing on Twitter a couple days ago that was a video of his dog the day he met him at the shelter.
I saw.
It's so sweet because it's the video, and then he says in the writing of the tweet that he took the video because he knew as soon as he saw the dog, he was going to take him home and he wanted to remember it. It makes me...
Oh, he is Captain America.
I didn't realize it was him. I thought it was a video that went viral and the dog has the cutest
little dog?
Boxy face.
Now I just want to know what kind of dog.
I think she looks like tan and white and some combination of maybe border collie, boxer, cocker spaniel, something.
This is such a tangent, but I follow an unhealthy amount of animal shelters on Instagram, and it's kind of dangerous. I try and follow them in ones that aren't in Los Angeles, like where it's inaccessible dogs, but then I'll end up sending them to my friends who are in those cities. Like, look at them. Here's the Houston dog shelter that I follow. I'm like, here's a guy I barely talked to from a comedy show in Houston. I'm like, you need a dog? Because this one's pretty funny and seems nice and has a hat or something.
Yeah, I recently had to unfollow six of them. It's just causing a lot of stress in my relationship.
I'm realizing
this is the realest the podcast has ever gotten, and it has absolutely nothing to do with
it. I'm realizing I look at like such a different internet than you guys. When you said the Chris Evans thing, I was like, oh, I know. I watched this the other day. It's a video where Chris Evans gets in shape for Captain America. It's just like, how did he get his biceps like that? It's like, I got to stop.
No, hers is the video where he gets shaped, like emotionally. True. It's very different.
So good.
Now we should just go get dogs. Can we get a dog for the show? Okay, you song said we get a dog for the show. We're gonna get it. We still have a fan script we want to get to. We have some dumb games I want to play, and so we're gonna poorly transition in towards that now. We have three games. They're like parlor games, pun games, that sort of thing. Pretty fast. The first one is called Before and Afters. I think we play this on almost every episode. I put two movie titles together to be one movie title, and I read the hypothetically poorly mashed up plot. You tell me the title of that movie. It's like the example is a charming robot sells penny stocks and becomes a billionaire. That would be The Wolf of Wall Street. We see kind of where that – and that's the theme for this one is all – there's three of them, and Pixar has to do with all of them. Mm-hmm. So at least one of the movies in all three is Pixar. And so here's the plots of the first one. These are so dumb. I re-look at them and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing of all time. All right, here's the plot. After a one-night stand, a rising journalist decides to give an irresponsible slacker a chance to prove he is father material, and he uses this opportunity to carry their house away to South America via a bunch of colorful balloons.
Oh, I know...
Oh. Are you buzzing in? Yeah. The thing about the triangle is we lost the thing that holds it. So
Sorry, I did not.
There's nothing to hold
it. I know.
It.
I was like so excited about this, and it sounds so bad.
It looked like someone didn't want to give a toast, is what it sounded like.
It's the, yeah.
What do you think it is?
Is it Knocked Up Up?
It'd be Knocked Up.
Yeah.
I like Knocked Up Up, though, too. All right, number two. Rose invites Chris to finally meet her parents upstate. Her family's overly accommodating behavior puts Chris's feelings at odds, and we see internalized versions of his different emotions who help guide him through unimaginable horror.
I know what it is.
Oh.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it?
Is it Get Inside Out?
It's Get Inside Out.
Hell yeah.
You guys are killing this.
This game makes me feel very smart, which is an illusion for sure.
All right, last before and after. The group of toys relocates to Miami to start over and must get involved in the local street racing scene to win their freedom from Al and avoid being sent to a museum in Japan.
I know. No, I don't.
I think I know.
Do you know?
I mean, I know which two movies it is. I just don't know what the title would be.
Work through it.
One of them is The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, but I can't remember what the first... Oh, the toys... Oh, I don't know it.
I have a guess. Do you have a...
No, I was on the same. I was thinking...
It's Fast and Furious, but it's not Tokyo Drift.
Okay. I was going to say, is it Two Toy, Two Story?
You got the right movies.
Mm.
Toy Story, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
You guys were pretty much both better mashups. Also, Toy Story 2, so sad. I watched the trailer for the movie. It's good, but they all make me sad. Anyways. Next game. This is called Literal Titles. This is movie and television show titles taken as literally as possible, and I rewrite the plot. So I'm going to tell you a plot. you tell me what movie that would be if the title is very literal. So an example would be a completely made-up movie about people's preference in orange juice texture. And that would be Pulp Fiction.
Got it.
So we kind of understand that idea? Mm-hmm. All right. We got three of these. Here's number one. Someone tries to hush all of these baby sheep who keep yelling.
Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Mackie, wow.
I like seeing you get excited with yourself.
Right, yeah. I have like a specific mental illness that allows me to like figure these all out.
I think I might be able to align with you because I wrote them without even looking up movies. Number two, a movie about driving in Los Angeles.
Drive? Speed?
These could all work. This was a bad one. It was Traffic. Not that anyone says any other example. I'm like, these are all, this game always just turns into the game not working.
Crash. That's.
LA Confidential. Someone tries to wear the heaviest coat in the world for some reason. It is made entirely of steel.
Full metal jacket.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Look at you. Mickey, like, oh, yes, all the parts are there for this one. This one passes
this. Excellent. Yeah.
A movie about a dozen guys' behavior online most of the time.
Hmm. 12 Monkeys?
No, no, that was better, though.
I would say The Hateful Eight, but it's a dozen.
It's a dozen.
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
Oh.
I interact with a lot of men online. I had that answer before you finished reading.
I've actually encountered men on the internet. And this is our third game. This game is a new one. We're only a couple times in. We don't really have a name for it yet, but what it is we play the audio from three movies, famous scenes from three movies simultaneously, and you have to pick out what three movies it is.
I'm already so stressed
out. It's kind of a stressful
thing.
I think this one's kind of – so we'll just kick it in here. And so if you know them, just call it out, and then once we get all three, we'll be done playing it.
Wow,
this is
really nice.
I know,
right?
Oh my God.
Mean Girls is one?
Mean Girls is one of them.
Thank
you as well for the conversational hiatus. A general refrain speech during gust station. Well, those who attempt at the same time.
He wants you to tell.
I find it coarse and vulgar.
Welcome to our home.
Making money in the Lord's service.
Is one O Brother Where Art Thou?
Yeah, one is O Brother Where Art Thou.
Now the train is not a complicated house, not like a regular mom. Cool mom. Right, Gina? Please. The word of God in bulk is a word. How to recognize your customer. Who are you dealing
with? One the Curious Isle of Dogs? No.
And it is that with, I propose,
it was my parents'
to give you a lesson in.
I made them
train.
Right now.
Well, that's when he kills the frog.
Kills the frog.
And no brother Where Art Thou.
It's all about money, boys. That's it.
I forgot how violent the So Brother Where Art Thou scene gets. He's beating him with a stick.
Is there a foreign language film in here?
Yeah, it's
No, but there's someone speaking a foreign language.
Is it Babel?
Are they speaking Japanese?
Okay. Is it Godzilla?
Alcohol in this? Oh God, honey, no.
I've never seen Lost in Translation.
It's Lost in Translation.
Oh, Becky! You say yes.
Crazy. Whoa. Is that like what they play at Guantanamo to make people like
three movies at the same time?
Yeah.
I wonder why it elicits such anxiety to hear multiple soundtracks on each other.
I could only hear Mean Girls for most of that.
Yeah.
That was very stressful. I didn't listen very far in it, that gave me anxiety by the end. But it's
wow. The only thing I know about Lost in Translation is Japan, and they were speaking Japanese.
That's a scene where he's filming a commercial for a whiskey, the director gives notes to a translator, and then the joke is the notes are like a minute long, and then the translator will be like, "All right, he said, look into the camera."
Yeah,
and he's funny. That's all you told me was to look in the camera. That was it, and that's kind of the back
for
and forth.
Santori
for a good time. Make it a Santori time. Is that right? Yeah. It's good.
It's great.
Mean Girls is so funny. I know that has nothing to do with any of this, but so that was the scene. I was trying to find any scene from Mean Girls because I watched part of that movie the other night, and they all so quickly are identifiable. I want to do the gym scene. You know what that is after 1 second. The scene where they're all on the phone putting each other on hold is so funny. Mm-hmm. What a funny movie.
That's one of the movies I use as an example. When I saw the trailer, I was like, I'm not going to this because I was kind of a dark teenager and mm-hmm. I thought it looked very bubblegum pop kind of movie. And so I kind of got dragged to it. And I was so blown away by how incredible
so funny.
The movie is. And so now I feel like, you know, this is kind of a tired conversation, but with everyone dissecting trailers and what movies are supposed to be, it's just, I think I partially loved it so much because it wasn't hyped up at all for me. I had the opposite.
There's something so much so fun about, like, something coming out of nowhere.
And right.
Like, if this new Avengers movie is incredible, that's great. We've all been talking about it for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
But when something pops up that everyone's like, you're telling someone and giving them, like, this is a good thing, here's it, go check it out. That's fun.
Yeah.
I'm almost hoping that happens with I Feel Pretty. All signs are pointing to, like, this could be a very problematic movie. But
yeah.
I hope it's, like, smart.
I don't even know what that is. Yeah.
It's Amy Schumer's new movie.
Oh. Yeah.
She gets a bump on the head, and then the joke is that she thinks that she's pretty when she's, by Hollywood standards, you know, maybe 15 pounds heavier than normal.
Okay.
And so that's, people are mad about it. Like, that you would have to be hit. It is kind of funny in a sad way. Okay. You would have to be hit on the head to feel good about yourself in Hollywood if you were not anorexic, I guess.
It's kind of like Shallow Hal. Were there issues with that movie?
Yeah.
Because it's the opposite, but the male version.
But wasn't that a guy has to be hit in the head to find a girl pretty? Not like, not self-worth, but like
you're
worth in someone else.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about Shallow Hal on the, I think, last episode of this. And someone, it's Jack Black, who's also, like, not traditionally the most handsome person, has to be hit in the head to find someone pretty or something like that.
Or he gets hypnotized by Tony Robbins.
That's right.
Who is currently making a fun comeback.
Imagine watching Shallow Hal now and be like, man, Tony Robbins, really the worst point of view of anyone in this. Okay, so we have fan scripts, and if you're listening, you can send us a script. It's usually 2 or 3 pages at most, whatever you want to send to neverseenitshow@gmail.com. I keep forgetting that, but we have a bunch of them, and so we're gonna read a Never Seen It scene written by a fan, and I don't even know what movie it is yet, and so I'm gonna go I'll be right back. Just grab these.
Tell the audience you'll be right back.
Yeah. I was gone for 6 hours. Okay. Oh, my God.
Wow, it was so fun to just be in a transition right then. That was kind of cool, right?
We're actually going to cut your part out.
Nice.
Sorry.
Love it. Very good.
Okay, so the movie, this is going to be insane. The movie is The Deer Hunter. Have you guys seen The Deer Hunter?
Is that the wrestling
A long
movie?
Time ago.
All I know about The Deer Hunter is Walken and De Niro.
I've never seen
Vietnam?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone want to do stage directions? We can just divvy these parts out here.
I'll do it if no one. I'm not good at doing voices. So.
Okay, you can take the stage directions.
I mean, neither am I, and I really took a hard swing right at the top.
Well, what problematic voices could come up in this Vietnam era war flick with Christopher Walken in it?
Oh no.
Do you want to do Walken? I'm going to give you Walken for how confidently you...
See, that's the thing. The whole time I've been like, oh, man, I hope I don't listen to this later. And I'm like, why did I do that? And now I'm going to do it again?
Well, I appreciate you saying you'll listen later. all right. Oh, we got 5 parts. Or is this just an extra script? Just extra? Okay. Now they're going to have some severe editing to do. Marina, would you like to be Wagner or Bach C?
What's the second one?
Bach C?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, that's good. That saves me having to do, probably get an email about an accent.
Oh, no. Is there an accent? I can't do it.
Okay. All right. This is by Anthony Sarlow. This is The Deer Hunter. Remember, neverseenitshow@gmail.com if you guys want to send us a script. We may read it here. And this is, I'll read, Anthony's got a note here. Author's note regarding The Deer Hunter. All I know is that Christopher Walken and something to do with Vietnam. I've intentionally not checked, but either of those things might not even be true.
We also have no way to verify it right now.
All right. I think Walken is also voice, right? Does it say that on the front? Look at the top. I think you're also the voice. Like, Walken does the narration.
I do the narration.
Does it say voice/Walken at the top of your script?
Yes.
I don't see that.
Look at the top right corner of your script on the front page.
Oh. voice slash wolf.
There we go. All right, so you'll be that. Great. The Deer Hunter by Anthony Sarlo.
Interior, military police office, Vietnam Day. Military Detective Wagner is sitting at his desk, feet propped up, reading a newspaper. The headline reads, America Still in War. There's a radio on the desk, probably playing Creedence Clearwater Revival.
That's smart.
Military Detective Walken enters the office.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, the voice is a separate character. That's not Christopher Walken. I think that's supposed to be a
Robin Williams, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is this like an off-screen?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Yeah. So it's Robin Williams.
It's not an off-screen Walken doing the announcements. All right. Good morning, Vietnam.
Walken turns off the radio.
Damn this war. In the future, the children in space school will remember this as the only unjust war in American history.
The phone rings. Wagner picks up the receiver.
U.S. Army Crime Division, yes, sir.
Wagner hangs up the phone.
That was the chief. There's been a grisly murder at the Jungle District.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Cut to Interior Vietnam Medical Examiner's Day. VME Baxi, a slovenly local doctor munching on a rice ball with little regard for sterile conditions, has the body of an American soldier on the exam table. Walken and Wagner look on as Baxi gestures with his food-filled hand.
Somebody punch this poor bastard full of holes. My best guess, slow and painful.
Some kind of high explosive rounds.
Maybe he was drunk and fell off the side of the boat.
What?
What?
No, it was more like he was stabbed.
Boxy takes a pencil and pokes it into the bloody, gaping wounds on the body.
By the size of these wounds, it could only have been a blade. Wait a second.
Boxy digs something out of the body, dramatically bringing it to eye level with Walken and Wagner. It's the tip of a deer's antler.
Ow.
Walken and Wagner look at the bloody antler, then look to each other. It's as if they can read each other's thoughts the way only two people who've conspired to cover up a murder can. They exchange a nod.
Looks like it's hunting season.
And scene.
Can I just say that some of the best stuff on YouTube is videos of deer attacking hunters?
I love that.
It's Whoa. So funny.
It's very often ill prepared for any sort of repercussions.
It's so funny because they just stand up on their hind legs and slap, but it's dangerous.
I'm very scared of deer, actually. I grew up in a neighborhood with a lot of deer in the neighborhood, and they just seem very wild to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they are wild animals, but it's very scary.
The males can be aggressive around females during mating season, and it's really funny.
I think thanks to Anthony for the script.
Yeah.
I've never seen Deer Hunter. I think there's Russian roulette in it. I didn't want to say that beforehand because I didn't want to give it in case. But isn't that a big thing? There's a big, him and De Niro have a Russian roulette, and it's supposedly incredible acting and a very much.
Walken is a prisoner of war, and De Niro goes to get him out and finds that he is transitioned into, he's just lost his mind and gave up hope of escaping. And he just, I think for money, plays Russian roulette with Vietnamese people and won't leave when they come to rescue him because he's totally lost his mind and they're heartbroken. It's a horribly sad, sad movie. Not fun at all.
Well, I want to give props to Anthony for putting in whatever murder cover-up in two pages that he was able to get across. and there's a deer. So thanks to that. Yeah, I remember looking at it once and it was on TV and it was 4 hours with commercials on television, so I didn't have that time to invest.
It's just
A famous director?
I can't remember, but I know it's partly famous for how hot Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken were because they were really young when it was made. So that's part of why it's part of why I liked it.
Yeah. But. I'll take a we'll watch it. Thanks again to Anthony Sarlo for his script. If you guys want to write one, neverseenitshow@gmail.com, you can send us one. We've come to the end here. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back around to this game where my dad describes a movie trailer based on a movie he's never seen with special guest movie trailer describer, my 19-year-old brother. And so if you think you know what it is, we'll just wait till the end and then guess what movie my brother is describing based on the trailer.
All right, so he's telling everyone what time it is and how long they have left. Now this other guy seems cool, or trying to be cool, so they all have to get along. Are they just alone there? It seems like nothing happens. They just walk around the school with some dancing.
That was it.
What? Is it... I mean, wait, are we supposed to guess?
You can guess.
I mean... It sort of feels like Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
It is the Breakfast Club.
It is the Breakfast Club?
It is the Breakfast Club.
Oh.
You are incredible at the guessing.
Yeah, crazy. Whoa. My second guess was In Time, but that really didn't make any sense. Remember that Justin Timberlake movie from like 6 years ago?
With Vincent Kartheiser?
I don't know.
I think it was right after Mad Men, and I was like, that's Pete from Mad Men.
But yeah.
But no, it's not In Time. I don't know if they made a trailer for that one.
It's just there.
Your brother's never seen the Breakfast Club? No. Dang.
He's,
19?
Yeah.
I didn't see The Breakfast Club.
We were never a big movie. Mm-hmm. We were never a big movie family. We never went. It wasn't a huge, I never watched any of these movies until college. It was kind of like playing catch up for all the 80s and 90s.
Well.
Sounds like a radio station.
A lot of those, John Hughes, I grew up in Highland Park, and so he shot in that neighborhood a lot. So I think a lot of people from Highland Park felt very connected. And the last scene of Breakfast Club was shot at my high school when he puts his fist in the air.
Oh.
That's Deerfield High School football.
But the rest of it isn't shot there?
No, it's at a nicer high school.
They were like, we need a crappier looking high school for the last shot.
They're like, we need a parking lot.
Where's Marina go?
That's true.
Well, there you go. Well, guys, thanks for doing the show.
Of course, yeah.
I appreciate everyone coming on. Martha, thank you for writing Big Lebowski for us.
Thanks for reading my dumb romance between two dogs.
Thank you guys very much. Once again, if you have anything, just send scripts to neverseenashow@gmail.com. You can subscribe or rate or do the podcast stuff wherever you listen to podcasts, and we very much appreciate that. If does anyone have anything they want to plug, we can do that. Let's do that. Marina, you have a book coming out.
I do.
Talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. yeah. So thank you guys very, very much, and let them know where they can find you and exciting things you have going on.
Should I go first?
You can go first.
Yeah, I have a book coming out on July 24th. It's comedic essays called 30 Before 30, and it's by me, Marina Shiffrin. And you can pre-order it on Amazon, Indie Books, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. I have to say all of them.
Yeah, sounds practiced.
Yeah. I got in trouble because I was sending everyone an Amazon link, and they're like, okay. You have to, if people are supporting your book, you have to, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
There are other places.
We'll cut out this part of it. Yes, particularly.
You did say it like you were in trouble. And Books A Million.
Anyway. Right. Yeah.
Martha, Mackey.
I'm going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival next week in Austin, Texas. And then the third weekend of May, I think, I'm at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis.
Oh, that place is so fun.
It is one of my favorite clubs.
Yeah.
I wrote and directed and am in a series for Comedy Central Digital called Resolutions that comes out in June, I think. I don't know what the date is, but go look at that. It's on the Comedy Central app and on YouTube and Facebook. It'll be out in June.
Great. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
It's a good show.